Last night we spoke about one of the psukim in this week's parsha, Vayakim Moshe es HaMishkan, that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed the Mishkan, and we're told in the Torah that he had to put it up and take it down over and over again. And the Gemara comments about that is very strange. How come nobody else offered to help him? Were there no other individuals who were available to help Moshe Rabbeinu? He had to do this alone every single day. And from here the Gemara learns that a person should never feel that a mitzvah is beneath them. Never should you feel that your position is considered too important for you to be involved or engaged in any given mitzvah that may come your way. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it was a schus for him. If he was instructed to build the Mishkan, he took the opportunity to build it himself and did not hand it off to others. So somebody very correctly pointed out, they sent me an email last night, and this is the problem. When you only have 8 minutes between Mincha and Maariv, you obviously can't get to Kol HaTorah Kula. But somebody sent me an email, and he's correct. Isn't there an exception? He said that I said there's a blanket rule that one should never feel that they are too important to do a mitzvah, that a mitzvah is considered beneath them. And the truth is, we do find one exception to the rule, and that is by Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara tells us very clearly that we have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And the Torah says that we should give back a lost item. However, the Gemara says that if you have a zakein ve'eno lefi chavodo, the example that my father always gives in the shir when we learned the sugya with him was, let's say you have somebody's walking down the street, he's the rabbi of the shul, and a woman's bathing suit fell out of her suitcase. So he's going to have to go knocking door to door, holding the bathing suit. He would never do that in his own house. He would never go around the house holding that on his own. So now he has to degrade himself to do it for somebody else. So the Gemara says, no, zakein ve'eno lefi chvodo, if it's clearly beneath his dignity to be doing such a thing, he would not have an obligation to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So this person asked, if that's true, I forgot his name, Gabriel something, I can't remember his last name. He wanted to know, if that's true, how does that fit with everything that we mentioned yesterday? It's a very good question. Yesterday we said the Chavos Yair has a tshuva where he says, a person who has a great voice or somebody who knows how to play music should give of his musical talents to sing for a chasen and kala. Don't think it's beneath you. Or somebody who has to build a sukkah should never feel it's beneath me to go outside and build my own sukkah. That is your kavod, that's what you're supposed to do. So how do you explain the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? The answer is, Hashavas Aveda is an exception to the rule. There are a number of exceptions to the rule when it comes to Hashavas Aveda. For example, the Gemara says, let's say I am a lawyer who gets paid $1,000 an hour, right? Rabbis don't get paid $1,000 an hour. So let's say I'm a lawyer who charges $1,000 an hour, and now I have to go return somebody's item to them. Now, by walking around the neighborhood and trying to return the item, that person's obviously going to have to pay me back for my time. It's not fair that I come late to work to return your item. So now, I look at this item that he lost. He lost a stack of papers. He lost a pen. A pen fell out of his bag. Now I'm going to have to knock door to door. The pen you can buy for 25 cents in the store. But now I'm going to have to go spend my time, and he's going to have to pay me $1,000 for the hour off of work, and I'm only going to be giving him 25 cents for the pen that I returned. The Gemara says, that's not worth it at all. Of course, you have to make the calculation, and you don't do Hashavas Aveda if it's going to cost you more than the item itself is actually worth to the person who may have lost it. So that is what the Gemara says. There are a number of reasons why Hashavas Aveda is the exception to the rule, but certainly we see in the Gemara that it is the exception to the rule, and that is the only, to the best of my knowledge, that is the only exception to the rule. I want to just segue for a moment until before we dive in Maariv, into something else that we learn from this Gemara. The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who constructed the Mishkan. He's the one that had to dismantle it every day and put it back up. Ask the Gemara, Lo siyu echav kohanim? Where were the kohanim? What happened? The Gemara says in Menachos, from here we learn, Malim bakodesh velo moridin. If Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Jew that ever lived, the Navi, Adon HaNaviim, and God gave him the mitzvah to build the Mishkan, then for him to hand it off, kohanim are wonderful. But no Kohen was on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. No one in the Jewish community was on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So for him to have handed it off to someone else would have been degrading the mitzvah. It would have said it could have been done by the greatest individual, and instead it's being done by a simple Jew. So that wouldn't have been right. And from here the Gemara says we learn the concept of Malim Makodesh Velo Moridim, which is a halachic concept that we find in many different areas. That when you have something that is designated for a very important purpose, you don't have a right to again use it for something which is lower than that. So for example, the Gemara tells us, very interestingly, that if you have a Sefer Torah, Shabala, which means you have a Sefer Torah and some of the letters got wiped out, for you to go to the sofer and have them start rewriting all the letters that are wiped out, it's just not going to be worth it. It's going to be so much work, a lot of money, tremendous investment of time. It's just not worth it. And we have plenty of Sifrei Torah. But why should the Sefer Torah go to waste? Why should I put it in Shemus? Says the Gemara, maybe I should cut out a piece of the Sefer Torah, and I should use that part for the mezuzah. We know that a mezuzah has some of the parshiyos of Torah in it, so why go pay for a mezuzah at the local sofer? Why not just cut out a piece of the Sefer Torah and use that for the mezuzah? Says the Gemara, that's malim hakodesh velo moridin. That's not the same level. You have a Sefer Torah, has a kedusha of an entire Sefer Torah. And this parsha was now connected to that Sefer Torah. Now you're going to cut it out and have it stand alone. The kedusha of a mezuzah is not at all the same level as the kedusha of a Sefer Torah. And from that, the Gemara says, malim hakodesh velo moridin. You always have to go up in Kedusha, and you cannot go lower in Kedusha, which the Gemara has a discussion in Megillah. What is considered more chashuv, a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, the place where we daven or the place where we learn? Now, it happens to be, in most of our communities, both of those nowadays are interchangeable. We learn in the place where we daven in the place where we learn. If you have a yeshiva, usually they don't go somewhere else to daven, they daven in the yeshiva. If you have a shul, we don't go somewhere else to have the shiur, we have the shiur in the shul. So, now they're interchangeable, but in the times of the Gemara, the question was a theoretical one. Should a Beis HaKnesses be considered higher, or should a Beis HaMedrash? And the Gemara there is wondering, what's the difference? Both of them are very important. Both of them have a great sense of sanctity, so what's the difference? The answer is, what if I used to have a yeshiva, and boys used to sit there and learn the whole day, and now we no longer have a yeshiva, so we don't know what to do with it. Do I have the right to now transfer it into a Beis HaKnesses? Well, it depends. Is a Beis HaKnesses a higher level or a lower level? If it's lower, so then I don't really have the right to do that. If it's higher, then I could switch it to something which is a more elevated status than what it was before. Anyway, that's part of the discussion. So I was just in California this past Shabbos, and I was at the Young Israel Century City. And they recently did construction. I think it was in the last 5 or 6 years. I don't remember. They have a beautiful, brand new building. But what do you do with the old building? It's a very good question. So the rabbi was discussing with me on Shabbos that he had a very serious shaila because he had the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh houses the Sefer Torah. The Aron Kodesh was made of beautiful wood. But what are you going to use that for afterwards? So he said, Chaval, we're getting a whole new structure. They put in a beautiful Aron Kodesh with all, actually, they have matching mantelach for all the Sefer Torah and the Aron Kodesh. All of them are the same color with the same design, just different people's names on it. I actually thought it was a beautiful idea. And it matches the parochas in the front. So it's very nice. So when you open the Aron Shabbos morning, it's actually very pretty. So the problem that he had was, when they got rid of the old Aron Kodesh, he wasn't sure what to do. They weren't able to reuse it in the new drawings, in the new plan for the new shul. So he said, what should I do? Malam HaKodesh V'lo Moridin. What's a higher purpose that I can possibly use this for? He called up a bunch of shuls and asked them, would you like an Aron Kodesh? It's beautiful, but we're just not using it for the new building. Everybody said, we have one already. What's he going to save it for, a shiva house? What, you're going to come with a moving truck every time there's a shiva house and start moving this massive Aron Kodesh into someone's house? Obviously, it's not what they're going to do. So what should they do with it? So he said, maybe they'll put it in the Beis Medrash in the other room. They had architectural plans for the Beis Medrash to have its own Aron Kodesh, which is also pretty cool how they structured that over there with moving walls that you can move it out of the way. Very interesting. But anyway, the question then became, what do you do? What do you do? So you have the shiloh. So it's actually a shaila that is discussed in the Taz. The Taz writes that in his opinion, this whole discussion of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Moridin is only when I have an option to either keep something as is or to degrade it by making it a lower Kedusha, I don't have a right to lower it. But if option B is going to be that I have to bury it in the ground, I'm going to have to do Geniza, says the Taz, that wouldn't make sense. I may as well use it for something instead of using it for nothing. So why would I take the Aron Kodesh and bury it in the ground because I don't have a sacred purpose for it to be used, which is on par with what it's being used now? Why not at least do something with it, which may not be as holy as this purpose, but do something? That's what the Taz argues. And the other Achronim disagree. All the other Achronim say, what do you mean? We just mentioned the Gemara says, if you have a Sefer Torah Shabbala, you have a Sefer Torah that gets worn out. So I want to cut a part of the Sefer Torah to use it as a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, you can't. Malam HaKodesh V'lo Moridin. What do you mean? But I'm not going to use the Sefer Torah. I can't read from it. It's missing letters. Some of the letters are rubbed out. So as the things stand now, until I fix it, I can't use it. So the only option is going to be, I'm going to put it into Geniza. Instead of putting it into Geniza, why not use a part of it at least for the mezuzah? The Gemara says you can. So don't you see that that's a proof that the Taz is incorrect in his assumption? So in the end of the day, Rabbi Muskin told me that at the time, he had called my father with the shaila. And he said, my father said, that he should bury it, which is what they did. He said he had to have a huge company come in with a big machine, cut the whole thing into pieces. You can't fit that into a, you know, usually when we put Seamus into a kever, so you have a bag of something, you just stick it in. Here he says, well, I'm going to come to the next Levaya in the shul with a big Aron Kodesh. I mean, you're going to put it in the back of the hearse? That's ridiculous. So he said they had to cut it up into smaller pieces. He said it was very heavy heart that he had to do that. He had to cut it up into slices of wood. And one Levaya after the other, they took one slat of wood at a time and they buried it in the ground the way that we bury Seamus, the way it's supposed to be done. But that's what had to be done, because it seems that the Taz's assumption is really incorrect. When the Taz says that you're supposed to use it for a lower purpose if you have no other option, it doesn't seem that the Taz is fully accepted by many of the Achronim.